We're so glad you're here today. Welcome to Calvary Baptist Church. I hope that you are enjoying the cooler weather this morning. It's great getting up. It was 36 degrees this morning, and I consider it a blessing to get up to 36 degrees. I got up, turned on the fireplace, and sat there, read my Bible, and drank my cup of coffee, and it was me, God, and coffee, and that was great. And again, it's great to see all of you here. I'm so excited about tonight, and I hope that you are. We're going to have a good time. Hope you'll make sure and come back and bring your whole family. We have something for the kids tonight. We have food for you, and Brother Irmer is going to do a great job helping, just encouraging, addressing families. And by the way, if you are single, there'll be something for you as well. And in fact, one of the things that is important. Even those who, you know, maybe they think, well, you know, for the family, you are a family and you're important. And I hope you'll make sure and come tonight and invite somebody, bring a friend, somebody that maybe has shared with you some struggles that they're dealing with in their life and be a help to them. Last week, we began a series entitled Healthy Church. And when we talk about healthy church, we're talking about a church that as it moves forward, that it's so important that a church be healthy. And last Sunday morning, we looked at the first sign or evidence of a healthy church is it's focused on the gospel. This is where it all begins. Life begins with Jesus. And we talked about how that the gospel is applied to us and how it's so important because there is no life in a church without Jesus Christ in our hearts. And we looked at that and we talked about that. Last Sunday night, we looked at the fact that not only is a healthy church, one is focused on the gospel, but it's also focused on unity, being united together around a purpose. And we said our mission is to help real families experience real hope in Jesus. And we looked at that and we saw that that's so important. If we are as a church, if we are to move forward, we need to be united around our mission. And we looked at our mission. We introduced the mission last year. We looked at it, and we are understanding more about this mission as we go, but that is our mission. But this morning, I want to preach on the subject being focused on God's Word. That is another very important element of a healthy church. And you know, if we are going to be a healthy church, we have to have a focus, and of course, God's Word needs to be our focus. You know, if you're going to have a healthy diet and be healthy yourself, you have to have a healthy diet in order for it to work. I mean, it's a major contributor to health, no doubt about that. I mean, it'd be impossible if you ate three or four times a week at fast foods to be healthy, let alone to lose weight. I mean, you know, so it's important for us to realize that. It's also true when it comes to the spiritual health of a church. No way in the world can we ever have a healthy church without having healthy spiritual food. And so we find that throughout the scriptures that God has told us about the importance of the spiritual health of our church. And when we look at and we think about it from a physical standpoint, we understand that. And so there's an analogy the scripture uses about physical health and how important that is, and also how the spiritual health of a church is connected to what it is as a diet. What do we consume? What is it that we look to? The Apostle Paul, in writing in different places in the scriptures, he mentioned one area in Acts chapter 19 where here's what he said. He was writing to preachers, and the Apostle Paul said this in regards to diet for the church. He said to feed the church of God, to feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. And that's speaking, of course, of Jesus. And he's saying that if we are going to have a healthy church, we must make sure that we have a healthy food that we ingest into us as a church body. And that is, of course, God's Word. But Peter mentions this also, and he says this. He says, For as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. He's using the analogy of the physical when a baby has a desire to drink milk, and that's normal and natural, that it's also true for a church that when a church is maybe in its formulation years or whatever the case is, that they drink the milk of God's word. But as they begin to grow, as they begin to mature as a church, that there it needs to be more of God's word in that church. In fact, I'm going to be honest with you, that should be the foundation of our ministry, is God's holy word. And so we're seeing the scriptures over and over again encouraging us and saying to us as a church that if you as a church, if you're going to be a healthy church, it's going to be hinged on a healthy diet, no doubt about it. When I grew up as a kid, I was not known for eating the breakfast of champions. I would sleep as late as I could. Then I would get up and I would grab what every child would consider the dream breakfast: cookies, donuts, and if I was fortunate enough, a large piece of chocolate cake. Healthy, wasn't it? I don't know about you, but you know, when you look at that, I mean, you eat that, that's really good, and I would eat that for breakfast. And I enjoyed it at the time, but later I paid the price. I would get sick. And there would be times that I would be sick, and I couldn't figure out why I was getting sick. And in fact, I would almost push the number of absences in school because I would be sick because my diet was not a healthy diet. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you turn in your Bibles there with me, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul was writing to an unhealthy church. This church had become unhealthy because its diet was unhealthy. They were being influenced by outside teachers who they were not teaching what we would call the entire Bible. They were only teaching certain portions of the Bible. And Paul was writing to help them to understand where they were and what they needed to do to correct the situation. And as Paul was writing this, he was writing this, and they were even questioning Paul in his validity of teaching the scriptures. But look, if you would, at verse number 1, and here's what Paul says to this church. He says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." Paul is teaching that in verse 1, that the ministry of a church is a privilege for us. I mean, I'm very thankful to God for Calvary Baptist Church. This church was started January 9th, 1955. It's a blessing to have a church that we can come to where we can hear the word of God. And it's because of God's mercy that we're able to enjoy what we have. Amen and amen. You know, there's some places in the country where that's not the case, where there's not a church where you can get up and get ready and go to and hear the word of God. There are some countries in our world that it would be illegal for anyone to even gather to hear the word of God. So when we think of the mercy of God, it is a blessing to know that God is merciful enough to give us the church that we have. And Paul was writing and saying that it's the mercy of God in his grace and his mercy that he's given to us. And he says here that in that as we gather, that we want to make sure that we understand that what we're gathered around is around the teaching of God's holy word. You see, it'd be real easy to teach a church just what people want to hear rather than what they need to hear. You know, just like me, it's much easier for me to eat cookies and donuts and those kinds of things, because that's not what I need. And some of you can say amen to that. But I need something much healthier than that. And I want to tell you, that's what this church is about. And so when we think of the focus of the ministry, a healthy church is one who's focused around God's word. Let's continue on. And Paul writes and he answers an issue that's going on in the church. And here's what he says. In verse 2, he says, "But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." In verse 2, those who were influencing the church outside, they were not giving the whole truth. They were giving some of the truth. And what they were doing is they were hiding other parts of the Bible. They would hold it back and they weren't giving it. And maybe the reason why, we don't know, we're not, you know, as we read the account, we know that there could be things in study and in history we learn that maybe it was because they wanted a following of people, but they were not being honest with the people and giving them what they needed. And Paul is writing, he's saying, look, he says, you know, the diet, a healthy diet is not one that gives people just what they want, but what they need. And then he goes on and he says this. He says, "But if our gospel be hid," in verse 3, "it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine to them." You see, without God's word, we are blinded to the truth of where we are with God. And all of us need to have a clear understanding. And in fact, he goes on to say, in dealing with that, he goes on to say, he's talking about that. He goes on to say that in verse 5, he says, "For we preach not ourselves, but God, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." Here it is. Jesus is the hope of the world. He's the real hope. He's the only hope. The written word of God is the living word of God. The living word of God is Jesus Christ. And as I open the Bible, which is the written word of God, it reveals Jesus Christ. So when we talk about the fact that our focus as a church is to be around the gospel, we're saying that our focus of our church also in being around the gospel is recognizing it's around God's word, and around God's word points to Jesus Christ. So the message is not about the preacher. The message is about Jesus. That's where we need to be as a church. That's the health of a church. And it is our conviction that we believe here at Calvary Baptist Church that our focus is entirely on God's word. But in order for us to keep that focus, there are some values we have to claim as a church. We have to claim these values because they're so critical in a day and time when people are letting things go. There are three values I want to give you this morning, and I want to challenge you with these values. Number one is we received God's word. That's the first value. We received God's word. In other words, the word of God that we have is not something that was given to us by man, but it came to us directly from God. The word of God is clearly that which God gave to us. He's committed that in trust to us. And with this Bible that I hold in my hand, or however we have this written down for us, that God has given us his holy word, and we believe that this is from God. Scripture says it like this in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. Here's what it says. It says, "Knowing this, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation." In other words, this Bible that we hold, the Word of God that we have, it didn't come to us because of some man's belief, or he wrote it down, or his ideas. He says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." In other words, that the Holy Ghost, the Word of God, that came to us, that God moved within man and directed his hands as he wrote down the very words of God that we hold in our hand. You see, we received it from God. God made sure that we had this Bible that we hold in our hands so we can share that word with everyone in the world. That's God's plan. And we accept God's word by faith. I don't know about you today, but I'm so thankful I have God's word in my hand. Amen. I'm just glad that I have access to God's word. In the Old Testament times, they had scrolls and they had stones and they had, in New Testament times, animal skins and all these things. I'm glad God gave us on pages the Word of God that we can hold in our hand. Yes, this is the very Word of God. But you know, as you might think, that many Christian churches believe the very thing that I just said. But oddly enough, that's not the case. It's very strange, but in a recent survey, 45% of the people who claim to be evangelical, who claim to be believers, 45% of them say they do not believe the Bible is literally the Word of God. 45%. That's an alarming statistic. But we have to understand that as a healthy church, that we recognize that this Bible that we have, that we hold in our hands, that comes to us directly by God, we're to believe it, we're to honor it, and we're to look to it and say, God, this is my guiding post. It's a value that I have in my life. And I must tell you, when a church questions God's word, And takes something from God's word, it becomes an unhealthy church. I mean, this goes all the way back. This is not just something New Testament. It's also Old Testament. For example, Moses even said this in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2. He says, "You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you." This means that God gave us exactly what he wants us to have. God didn't give us everything we want to know, but God gave us everything we need to know in his word. So the first value I want to get our church, I want to challenge our church to claim, is the value that we have received God's word from God. It's God's word, not man's words. It's God's word, not a church book. It is God's holy word. The second value is this, and that is we reflect God's word. You know, it's one thing to believe that this is the word of God. It's another thing to live out the word of God, to let the word of God do its work in my life. I like what D.L. Moody said. He said this, "The Bible is not given for information, but for transformation." In other words, the Bible that I have in my hand, God didn't give it to me just so that I can read about some guys in the Old Testament and some young guys in ancient world, you know, wandering around with Jesus. But God gave me this book to transform my life. It's unhealthy for a Christian to add or take away from the Word of God. And sometimes that happens. You know, it happens even in the Garden of Eden. If you look in the Garden of Eden, Satan was very good at getting us to question God's word. And just as he got them to question God's word, they made a strange decision to ignore what God said about the tree. You know, we all deal with it from time to time. We're all tempted. We're tempted about when we open the Bible and we read things, we're tempted to say, "Well, you know, I don't know about that. I'm not sure about that." We're tempted to do that. Let me ask you this. How many of you like to be comfortable? How many of you like being comfortable? The rest of you are lying because all of us like to be comfortable, right? I don't know about you, but man, I like a nice, you know, remote for TV if I'm going to watch TV. I want to be comfortable. I can sit across the room. When I was a kid, we used to have a remote control, and that was me and my sister. And my dad said, turn the channel. And we get up and go turn the channel. We said, but why do we have to do that, Dad? You eat my table, you turn the channel, all right? We like to be comfortable, though, don't we? We like to sit back and relax. We like to be comfortable. And you know, if we're not careful, you know that comfort that we have from the world we live in, and we live in a very comfortable world for the most part, we can carry that into our Christian life. And we could take the Bible and say, you know, that makes me comfortable, but this doesn't make me comfortable. And sometimes we could just, as Adam and Eve, they there were just some things they weren't comfortable with when God told them that you to eat of the tree. And they said, no. So they wanted to check out and see if it was okay. And they ate of the tree, and that was a mistake, because now that brought sin in the world. It's interesting. When you think about the Bible, how few people read it. It's really interesting. A recent Lifeway research study found that 45% of regular church attenders read their Bible more than once a week. Over 40% once or twice a month. And almost 1 in 5 never read the Bible. May I make a suggestion to you? And that is this: if you don't read it, how can you live it? If you don't read it, if you don't know what it says, kind of sounds like what Nancy Pelosi said, you got to vote it in to know what's in it. We don't vote it in. You open up the Bible and let the Bible transform your life. It does that. That's the work of God. But as we apply the Word of God to our life, and it allows us to it allows our lives to be transformed. It's like the guy that set up in a testimony meeting. Here's what he said. He said, "Thank God I'm not what I used to be." And that's a good thing. He said, "But I'm not all that I should be." And you know, as the Word of God is working in all of our lives, we are maybe not what we were, but thank God He's still working on us. You see, it's not to believe it just in the head, but to allow it to work in our life. When as a church we make decisions, and we make decisions about things, those decisions need to be based not on preferences, but on God's Word. I mean, we all have our preferences. We all did. You know, I've been in the ministry for several decades now, and I've learned that for me, that I've had to make my preferences subservient to God's Word. And realizing that, that's so important for a church. The decisions that a church makes does not need to be a preference, because I'm going to be honest with you, a preference-driven church is an unhealthy church. I mean, that's not how it works. We're to reflect God's Word as God says, not the mega church down the street, not the preference-driven church, not the church that has created these little things that they do, but we are to follow what God says in His Word. Sometimes pastors will graduate from a Bible college, and that's how they'll want their church to be. Or maybe they go and they're impressed by a mega church, or they see some conference where they hear, and they come back and they want to do what they were told to do. And by the way, I appreciate good ideas. I can get all the help I can get. If you have any ideas, bring them to me. We'll see what we can do. But a preference-driven church is an unhealthy church. You see, the Bible is our foundation. It's what we look to. Now, here's how it works. Let me explain how this unhealthy, preference-driven ministry sometimes happens. So what happens is you'll have like a church, and they will open up the Bible. And by the way, this is the practice that it should be. They open up the Bible and they say, okay, what does the book of Acts say? And God works in the maybe the leadership of that church, the pastor, and those who are working alongside him and work in that church. And you know what they'll do is they'll go, okay, I'm going to get this. This is what God wants. And then what happens is that God begins to work, and maybe the church grows or whatever the case is, the church begins to be, you know, become alive and very healthy. And then someone will see that church, maybe a church leader from another church, and say, you know what? I want our church to be just like that church. And so what they try to do is copy the church rather than copy the original. The original is the Acts church. But they want to copy the church. And then guess what happens? When you make a copy of a copy, have you ever noticed on a copier, when you make a copy of a copy, the copy gets unclear, doesn't it? You can't even read it. And then you make another copy of the copy, and then you make copy of the copy of the copy, and before you know it, if you have 10 copies, you know what happens? It doesn't look anything like the original. And unfortunately, churches that make the decision to say, you know what, we want our church to be like this, or we want our church to be like that, or we want our church to be like this, let's go back to the original. God has given us the Word of God. If that's good enough for the church that God is using and working, just like He did in the first century, I believe that God can do the same in the 21st century. So the second value we all need to claim is this: we reflect God's Word, and we want our church to reflect God's Word in our community. I mean, Calvary Baptist Church needs to be a Book of Acts type church. We need to be a church that we live out God's Word in Solano County so that people know who God is and who Jesus is, and point them to God's Word. So the second value is that of claiming that we reflect God's Word. Let me give you the third value. We said we had these two values. Number three is we reveal God's Word. We reveal God's Word. And by that, we go back to verses 3 and 4. Here's what it says. It says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Here's what he's saying. He says, when we keep people in darkness, we don't want to tell them the complete truth, but here is the truth. We're sinners. All of us are sinners. And since we're sinners, we have this problem. And that problem is, this sin problem is terminal. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The "all" includes every one of us here. But when a church focuses on revealing the truth, it's not going to keep people in the darkness to the condition that man has before God. Because I'm going to tell you, we live in a world where we're all sinners, and without Jesus Christ, we have a terminal disease that's going to hurt us. We're going to die and go to hell without Jesus Christ. That's the reality. And what we need is, we don't need more religion. We need Jesus Christ, a relationship. And God's Word shows us this truth and reveals this condition to us. And we have an inescapable appointment. Here's what it says: "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." That inescapable appointment is for every person. We're going to die one day. And when we die, the thing that's going to matter the most is not what religious affiliation we had, but did we have Jesus Christ as our Savior? That's the real deal. That's the revelation that we're talking about. That's the truth that we're saying, that the Scripture says that we need to make sure and tell not just ourselves of this truth, but we need to tell the entire world around us of this truth. We need to tell Solano County this truth. That's what the preaching of God's Word in this church is about. A healthy church is committed to teaching the whole Bible, revealing the truth. And then he goes on to say, we're not to faint. You look at verse number 6, here's what he says. He says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts. We give the light the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. When we reveal the light, when we shine the light, we always shine the light, not on ourselves, but on Jesus. That's what the church is to do. We're to shine the light on Him. It's not about us. It's about Jesus and what He can do, because the fact is that Jesus Christ did come 2,000 years ago. The fact is that Jesus Christ did die on the cross, and that He was buried and He rose again the third day. That's the gospel. That's what the Word of God teaches. That's our foundation. And a healthy church is one who focuses its emphasis on God's Word. It is our foundation. It's the only thing that we can look to with full confidence. It's true. God's holy word. Here's some sobering questions I want to ask you as a church. Number one is this: are we revealing the gospel to our community? Are we revealing the gospel to our community? Because, see, the truth of the matter is, the church is not just the building this morning. You're the church. You're that church body. Every person here is. And if we are not, then who is? Who is going to reveal it? Who is going to tell them? And then secondly, here's another question. When you think of the future of our church, what is most important to you? What is important? I'm going to tell you, I'll help you with the answer. It's God's Word. We need more of God's Word. We need to hear the Word of God speaking to us, not only through the pulpit, but in our own individual life as well. We need more of God's Word. Will you decide today with me that we will tell our community about Jesus Christ, and that we'll take the Word of God and we'll make it more a part of our daily life, that it's not just a book that I kind of put on my shelf and pull off every now and then, or kind of a handbook I take to church with me, but it's going to be a part of my daily life every day. One more question is this: will you filter your decisions and your life through the Word of God? Will you allow the Word of God to speak to your life? And whatever God's Word says, respond accordingly. Will you do that? You see, if the church is going to say our foundation is the Word of God, it's going to take individuals who believe that it is truly what it says it is, God's holy. If you're here today and you're not sure that you're yet a Christian, I want to tell you, you can know that today. It starts with the gospel. The gospel says we need Jesus, and He came and died on the cross for us so that we could be forgiven and we could have a home secure in heaven through Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans 10, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, that's Jesus, shall be saved. The word saved is mean to be delivered from our sins through what Jesus did. Will you call upon Him today and ask Him to be your Savior? Shall we pray? While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed,